Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Welcome, all of you that are listening on tonight. We just praise God for you. And we welcome you to another Thursday evening of the Warfare Hour. Hallelujah. I am Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson, and we are the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International Ministries, located here in the glorious city of Glory, better known as Gary, Indiana. And we are broadcasting again once more and again through our wonderful, wonderful man of God, Apostle Leonard Emmons and the Living Way Christian Center. We're here in our lovely facility, you know, just praising God for everything. We'd like to thank the Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders for allowing us this opportunity once more and again, and our technicians and those evangelists and prophets that make everything happen for us. Shout out to you. We love you, Prophetess Teresa and Evangelist Hannah and all those that are behind the scenes to make everything happen. God bless you and God keep you. We thank everyone that comes to listen to us and to be with us on Thursday night. And we're blessed again that we have my partner in crime, Batman and Robin, son in the ministry, Prophet Corey Grady.
God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. I'm truly, truly, truly thankful for being here again. Every time I get to come here and share in the Word of God, more so sharing as far as listening and hearing the Word of God as it is spoken, it is just an awesome time. I once again, we are in agreement with Apostle Clark Richardson in thanking God for Apostle Emmons and thanking God for Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters, and thanking God for Warriors for Christ, House of Prayer Church and National Ministries. We just thank God for everybody who's, you know, allowed us to take part in this wonderful opportunity to share in the work of the Lord, work of the ministry. We just, you know, want to make sure that we share our gratitude every opportunity we get, and we thank God for even this opportunity of doing so. We thank God for for His word and His presence in our lives every single day. And at this time, I'm just excited about what we're going to get into. So I'm going to go ahead and pass it on back to Apostle Clark Richardson. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we had a wonderful time on last week, and you know, we kind of got a little bit of a format where we do try to go back over some things. We didn't exactly finish everything, so we're going to kind of go into the things that we were into last week, at least for several minutes. But this is the warfare hour, so we're about praying. We're about fighting the devil. We're about fighting what's going on with the enemy, and we're going to some more tools, some more weapons on tonight, or at least some wonderful prayers that will help carry you through the remainder of the week so that you'll be able to fight the enemy. And, again, we talked about how Jesus always told parables, or he told stories. To do the same thing. That's why we have a two-person forum where we could kind of, like, bounce some things off one another. We could talk about some things that God has given us, and also to share with you a perspective based on things that are happening in our community. And so once more again, we admonish you to use whatever pen, pencil, or electronic device, or whatever it is you're going to use, because we're getting ready to get started, and to allow you and let you know that you can listen to the podcast. The podcasts are available if you're online. And if you did call in, we're going to remind you also to press 1 at the end if you want to be able to give comments or tell us how you feel or ask for prayer or anything along those natures. But let's go ahead and get started. As we do each week, we always ask that you would pray with us, and so that we can all be on one accord. And the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer, this is our motto. We believe that failure is not an option. We do believe that failure is not an option, because we truly believe that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We believe that because in our hearts, in our minds and souls, we do seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and we believe that all these things should be added unto us. We also believe that as long as we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, in all our ways to acknowledge God, that he will lead, guide, and direct our paths, which is more than one. And finally, we believe that if we study to show ourselves approved unto God, that we can be a weapon that's needed not to be ashamed, rightly or righteously dividing the word of truth. So if you'll say this one little scripture with us, it just helps put us all on one accord. Amen. God bless you. Open thine eyes.
Open thou mine eyes.
That I may behold.
That I may behold.
The wondrous things.
The wondrous thing.
Out of thy law.
Out of thy law.
And that's Psalms 119 and verse 18. Once more, just saying, let me be able to understand what it is I'm getting ready to embark on and the thing that we're going to be studying. Amen. Amen. We've always talked about some repetition, about doing some things that makes it easy for us to change and to put ourselves in a position of changing old habits and putting in a new habit. One of the things that's been a detriment to our community is that the men and women in the Christian community, in the kingdom community, have a divorce rate that's higher than the regular community. The sinners are doing a better job of staying together than we are. And we must do something about that. And when we talk about marriage, I want to talk about two things, men and women that are listening. First of all, if you are not married, I won't say single. We don't stay single because we realize that sooner or later, one day, by the grace of God, you are on your way to marriage, or you are married. We believe that everyone's married that is in the kingdom. We believe that you're married to Christ. For we are the bride, and he is the groom. And therefore, we believe in the marriage of the apostolic and the prophetic, which is the representation of us and Christ. Also, we believe that God ordained the family. And because he ordained the family, which that is the man and the woman being married, that he has given us so many things to make that happen and to make that perfect and to make that make us a blessing to this earth. And so we pray a harmonious marriage prayer each week, and it's for married and for those that are not married in the flesh, but those that are married in the spirit. And so we're going to ask that you would pray the prayer with us. Amen. Harmonious marriage prayer. And we got some great gifts, some great things coming up in the future concerning marriage. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, it's written in your word that your love is shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost who's given to us. Because you are in us, O God, we acknowledge that love reigns supreme. We believe that love is in full expression, folding and knitting us together in truth, making us perfect for every good work to do your will, working in us that which is pleasing in your sight, O God. Father, live and conduct our marriage of the apostolic and of the prophetic, but especially of the natural, O God, honorably and becomingly, O God. We esteem it as precious, O precious. And we esteem it as worthy and of great price, O God. We commit ourselves to live in mutual harmony and accord with one another, delighting in each other, being of the same mind, and united in spirit. Father, we believe and say that we are gentle. Father, we believe and say that we are compassionate. Father, we believe and say that we are courteous. Father, we believe and say that we are tenderhearted. And Father, we believe and say that we are humble-minded. We do seek peace. And it keeps our hearts in quietness and assurance, O God, because we follow after love and dwell in peace Our prayers are not hindered in any way. In the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, the sweet communion, the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit, and by the good, perfect, and acceptable will of you as the great I am. Father, our marriage of the apostolic and of the prophetic, but especially again of the natural, God, it grows stronger day by day in the bond of unity, because it is founded on your word and rooted and grounded in your love. Father, we decree this day, Father, we decree this day, Father, we decree this day that we have a marriage of the apostolic, a marriage of the prophetic, and a marriage of the natural, O God, which is made in heaven and on the earth. Father, we thank you for the performance of it, O God. And in Jesus' precious name, we agree by saying amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
And just in case you're wondering where we get this information from, we got a few references, just a few. Romans 5 and 5, Philippians 1 and 9, Colossians 3 and 14, Colossians 1 and 10, Philippians 2 and 13, Philippians 2 and 2, Ephesians 4 and 32, Isaiah 30 and 17, Philippians 4 and 7, 1 Peter 3 and 7, Ephesians 3, as well as verse 17, but last but not least, Jeremiah 1 and 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we believe that God sent us and ordained us to do what we're here to do. And we're going to continue in prayer, but we're going to give you the scripture that we read. And we believe it kind of tells us what God has in store for us. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Verse 12, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me, and when ye shall search for me with all your heart, verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, said the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful and magnificent
amen,
name.
Amen, amen. Isn't God awesome? God is just amazingly awesome, and I thank him for that, you know, in the vein of bringing you away from where you were captive. When he speaks to us about where we're captive, where we're bound up, where we're, beholden, he sends his word and he sends his message that we can be freed from that bondage. We can be freed from that oppression. I just want to thank God for the opportunity for him to be able to free us from that oppression. A lot of times we call those things breakthroughs. You know, a lot of times we see ourselves oppressed by different things, and then when God brings us through that situation, we call it a breakthrough. You know, we give a testimony that a breakthrough has happened in our lives, and that's an awesome thing. And it is simply the liberation of God, you know, the liberation that God has brought to you, that we call a breakthrough. Well, today I want to pray in that vein, if it's okay, Apostle. I believe,
amen.
I want to be able to pray in that vein about breakthroughs. You know, we've been talking in this season about God turning things around for us, and how wherever we are, God is going to turn it around. People are even releasing music in that vein about a turnaround or a breakthrough. That's where God has just got my heart today, just for praying for breakthroughs. Because every day, somebody that even is listening now, every day we all need someone to be alongside of us, fighting that war, that we might have a breakthrough in our lives. And we just take the time for just a moment to pray regarding breakthrough. Now remind you, this is the war for hours. So the prayers we pray aren't simply just, you know, nicety. There's time, there's a place for nice prayers. And then there's also a time and place for violent prayers and violent praise and violent worship. And we have to remind ourselves and remind them that we got to get violent. in order to take the stuff from the enemy that he has attempted to steal from us. Amen. So let's take this time and let's just go before the Lord and let's get armed up and get strengthened that we might be able to snatch out of the hand of the enemy the very breakthrough that God has prepared for us. Amen. Holy Spirit, multiply your grace in my life. And in the name of Jesus, anointing of revelation fall upon my spirit man. And in the name of Jesus, anointing of wisdom fall upon my inner man. Hallelujah. As I speak on behalf and intercession for all of those who are under the sound of our voice, God, and even those in our families who might not even be under the sound of our voice, Lord, we speak on their behalf as we continue in prayer, God. We cover these prayers in the blood of Jesus. And as we continue, God, we ask that in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, fire, open the eyes of my spirit. In Jesus' name, oh Lord, let all the angels assigned to assist me in my ministry receive fire in the name of Jesus. Any power that has arrested my angels, be arrested and release my angels in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, my. Oh, mighty hand of God, fall upon me for ministry and protection in Jesus' name, oh Lord. Let me and my descendants dwell under the shadow of the Almighty all the days of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord, keep me, my ministry, my family, and my descendants after me in your pavilion in the name of Jesus. For in your pavilion, evil arrows cannot locate us. In the name of Jesus Christ, evil arrows that come into my life by night, shut up and come out of my life by night. In the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God of Elijah, arise in your power and let all my enemies fall before me. In the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord, whenever my enemies plan any attack, O God, against me in the future, let their counsel turn into foolishness. In the name of Jesus, O Lord, wherever my enemies take evil decisions against me, let your truth deliver me according to thy word in the name of Jesus Christ. For God, anybody who has been a victim of false accusations, slander, libel, and by any false witness of the brothers in the house of God, release them from those accusations in the name of Jesus Christ. Release them from those words in the name of Jesus Christ, and let those words be returned to the sender, and let them be cast over them as a shadow for the rest of their lives, God, because they are your enemies who have come after we, the children of God, and in the name of Jesus Christ, oh my Father, now, Lord, destroy the deeds of all those that the devil will use against us in your sanctuary. In the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord, break us and mold us for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, every synagogue of Satan erected against us, God, allow them to fall down before us now, for we are the Lord of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Anything in us, God, that will allow the arrow of the enemy to prosper, remove it, God. Remove it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every demonic alteration on our destiny, God, loose your hold upon our lives, devil, and come out of our foundation in the name of Jesus Christ. All powers behind demonic alteration of our destiny, die right now in Jesus' name. Any power behind demonic alterations of our handwriting and virtues, die in the name of Jesus Christ. Demonic marriage, loose your hold over us right now in the name of Jesus and be purged out of our foundation. In Jesus' name, every strange child assigned to us in the dream, roast by fire in the name of Jesus Christ. Fire of God, pursue all strange children and women assigned to us in the dream, in the name of Jesus Christ. Every evil is salvation in Jesus' name.
Evil idols from our father's house. Fight against idols from our mother's house and destroy yourselves in Jesus' name. Idols in our city of hurt, holding down our destinies, roped by fire in the name of Jesus Christ. Every demonic authority attacking our lives as a result of our past relationships with strange sexual partners, roped by fire in Jesus' name. Every demonic activated, every demon activated against us. Go back to your owner in the name of Jesus Christ and back up in Jesus' name. All demons and principalities assigned against us be decommissioned and put out of your assignment in the name of Jesus Christ. You are honorably discharged in Jesus' name. Every evil voice rising up against our glory be silenced. In the name of Jesus, remove the blowhorn from your head. Set up God and take your seat in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit of God, do something new in our lives, oh God. Today, in the name of Jesus, do something new, Holy Ghost. Do something new, Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus Christ, starting right now. In Jesus' name, oh Lord, make us an instrument. An instrument. I make us an instrument of revival in your hand in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I take off the powers of demotion in the lives of the people of God. All of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Thou servant of demotion, release our glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh heaven, arise and release us from captivity in Jesus' name. God, we thank you so much for all that you are doing right now. And we cover this prayer in the blood of Jesus Christ. We cover this prayer in grace and in mercy. And God, there shall be no retaliation, no backlash, no revenge. The enemy is decommissioned, discharged, and removed from our sight in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody on the under the sound of my voice that agrees with us, say amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. The warfare hour, this is the warfare hour, this is the warfare hour. Chad, the most idiot to the audience. Yes, we come against you. We come against the enemy in all shape, form, or fashion. We come against him. We declare, we decree that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is in control.
And he has ordained us to be who he said we are, that we can go forth and we can fight this enemy. Because sometimes we just got to go ahead and just get our 2x4s and bust him in his mouth, let him know who he up against. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Last week we talked about hallelujah.
Woo!
Running the race, unprepared. And unfortunately, many of us do that all the time. We have been in the pitch. We prepare ourselves sometimes in a manner that we deem necessary, and we really think we're doing the right thing. But what God shared with us on last week is that many of us get sidetracked. We get put in a position to where sometimes we don't prepare. Everything in this life calls for preparation. From Genesis to Revelation, in every book, there's some type of preparation going on. The Bible, the basic instruction before leaving Earth, that's what Bible stands for. That's an acronym that I don't know who came up with it, but that's one that fits. And that's just nothing more than a preparatory statement for us to take a look at what happened before, during, and after. And even to put us in a situation to say, okay, this happened, this is how it was handled, these were the people that it affected, this was the circumstances. And I want to admonish you that when you read scriptures, maybe it's real easy to find a scripture that can verify what it is you're trying to get across to people. And one of the things that if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you'll see that we always give you more than one scripture. Often we'll have you going through the scriptures for a while because we want to make sure that it's two or three witnesses. You know, somebody else said it before we said it. God has told us in studying to show ourselves to be approved of Him that we have to take a look at what it is that we, how we study, who, what, when, where, and how. Every time we read one scripture, we need to ask those five questions. And then, you know, what is the circumstance behind that scripture? And before we even go to the next scripture, we need to do an exhaustive study and to go through every reference that goes along with that scripture to see what the content of that scripture was. Often we've shared with you the importance of looking at the punctuation that's on every scripture. There's many periods, very few periods, but there's a lot of commas, semicolons, and colons. And those generally speak of there's something else going on in that scripture that needs to take a look at. And so we share with you that in running the race, you must be prepared. We talked about having a true doctrine, and we came from 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 1 through 5. Then we talked about having courage. And the courage that we needed to have was the courage to change. It takes courage for you to raise your hands up in the air. See, we talked about going to the club. And when you go to the club, the DJ says, throw your hand, or whoever it is that's the singer or the rapper or whatever. But even before rap came out, every group had some kind of way of getting you to throw your hands up. And the throwing your hands up is a yada. It's a way of giving homage or honor to the person that's standing back there. So we say, throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. You don't have no problem doing that after you had a couple of good Remy Martins or a couple of good Corvaceas, my DJ, or a couple of them old rap bands or whatever it is, whatever your pleasure may be. After you had a couple of them, you can push your hands up and shake your tail feathers and let everybody know that you down with that. Well, guess what? You just giving homage to the enemy. The enemy recognized that and when we throw our hands up in the air, he said he was going to get us to exalt him above God. And that's the reason that he wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. You must be aware of the devices that he uses against you. One of those devices is keeping you unprepared. He wants you to believe that he does not exist. And therefore, if he doesn't exist, it's easy for him to slide some stuff in on you and make you fight for the things that are familiar in your life. Because they have become familiar spirits in your life. You don't even know that you've been coerced, maybe even from an early age, to begin to understand these things. But we talked about the duties of ministers. Ministers are to preach the gospel. And one of the things that the scriptures tell us to do, and the church is getting away from, and so we keep bringing it back up, the scriptures, what John the Baptist did before Jesus, now they talk about him real bad. You know, they say, you know, he had wild hair. You know, he was living in the wilderness. He was eating locusts and honey. So I imagine his hair was kind of matted. He probably was dirty. He probably looked like some of our unfortunate homeless folks. And so people didn't want to hear what it is that he had to say. But he always said the same thing to start off. Repent! I said repent! For the kingdom of God is at hand. And God told us, Jesus, when he came on the earth, he told us in his ministry, early in his ministry, That's the same thing he did. He told the disciples to do the same thing. Disciples are followers of Christ. Before they became apostles, they were followers. They listened. They sat at his feet. They soaked in. They were sponges. And many of us, and we talked about that last night at Bible study, there's not a whole lot of mentoring going on anymore. One reason is one of the things that hurts those of us in the ministry is that we have been preparing seemingly forever. We've been under this pastor or this man of God or this woman of God, and we really in our heart believe we're better than sometimes than we are. And so we get angry, and we get frustrated, and we get disturbed, and we get jealous, and we get envious, and we get, and I say, we see, I'm putting me in there, because I know you don't, that didn't happen to you, you know, so, but it happened to me.
It happened to me.
What has happened is we put ourselves in a position to where we believe, and then other people, they'll push us on. You ought to be the one that such and such and such.
That's happened to me.
Here's where I'm going with that. We have been preparing, getting ready to receive what God is getting ready to give us. But we wipe the slate clean because our disobedience. And we become a hindrance to the man or woman of God or to the ministry right when the ministry is getting ready to take off. Several months ago, and I'm turning over to the man of God for a minute. We talked about the wiles of the enemy and how the church has been infiltrated by Wiccans and warlocks and witches. And they got an 8-step plan that they go in and they do all these different things to get the church to break up. Or to go away from the course of God. And many of the things that they do is they teach you or put themselves in a position to where they're very helpful. And the pastor or the leader allows them to become leaders in the church. And he puts them in a position where they can do the most damage. He makes them the choir director, or he puts them over the Bible study, or puts them over the youth. And what happens is they go right in and they start talking about separation and not unity. We've been talking about unity and being prepared. And so they're very prepared in how and methodical about how they come in and disrupt and tear up the church. But many of us don't recognize those things when we see them, and because we believe in the person rather than the Christ that's in the man or woman of God that is our leader. We put ourselves in a position to be used of the enemy. The sad thing about that is that takes away our courage to change.
That all goes back to pride and rebellion. They've been armed with pride and rebellion, these witches, these warlocks. Have been armed with pride and rebellion. Pride and rebellion will get you in trouble every time. And you don't have to believe me. You can go back to the scripture and find out that when Lucifer started operating in pride, he rebelled. And that rebellion got him in trouble, got him kicked out of heaven, along with one-third of the host of heaven. So pride and rebellion are not something that you really want to entangle yourself in. So when you start hearing people, and I thank God for the man of God in God's wisdom revealing those things, you know, we want to break ourselves free of pride and rebellion. How do you do that? That's simple. You maintain a life of worship. You maintain a life of prayer. That's all you do. You just maintain a life of worship and prayer. Worship is not something that you say. Worship is something you do. Yes, you can worship God with the fruit of your lips because you're doing so. But it is something you do in an everyday thing. Loving God is how you worship God. And how do you love God? He said it simply, keep his commandments. at so many different times in our lives we rebel against God and don't even know we rebel against God because we start siding with people and we start becoming men pleasers and we want to be politically correct and we want to do. I want to be politically correct. I want to be biblically correct. So let's you know. So even in the scripture, we can talk about worship and how worship is something that every day ought to be a part of your life. If you look at Romans 12:1-2, that is like such a direct quote, you know, for you to just live worship. It should be a living thing. It should be a 24/7 thing. 24/7, 365. You ought to want to, and even in the leap year, 24/7, 366, you want to worship the Lord. And the Bible reads in Romans 12. I'm just going to give you the first two verses, right? Because those two are so direct in just getting you to a place to understand worship. I'm going to read it in the King James because it's like a lot more just direct to you. Listen, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And we want to make sure that we pause instead of saying holy and acceptable because we so often misread that scripture. But the Bible just says holy, comma, acceptable, which is your unto God, which is your reasonable or your minimal. That's just the least you can do. And be not conformed to this world or to the system of this world, to this world's morals and standards, but be transformed. And we talk often about that, about conjections and all this. And since Apostle has already begun, you know, talking about those things, let's do our English lesson for tonight, just real quick. What is a conjunction? It's a word that brings two thoughts together. But it's what I like to call a contradictory conjunction, because when you use the word whatever you said prior to, is in contradiction to what you're about to say when you say the word but. So listen, what we're saying is be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the world. But, so in contradiction to the conforming of this world's system, moral, and standards, be transformed by the word of God, by the message of God, by the Holy Ghost. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what the scripture says. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, and acceptable, and perfect word of God. So there's two more conjunctions. And there's another conjunctive word. It brings together thoughts. So good, acceptable, perfect, we're all separated by the word and, which is continuation. So all of those things together are what you should prove by the transforming of your mind when you present your body a living sacrifice. So worship is about the renewing of your mind that you may be so in tune with God that when you walk among the people of this planet, you can only prove that God is who God is.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, again, as we were speaking of preparing ourselves, putting ourselves in a position to be prepared, we always look at the kinds of things that God has left for us. He has told us to be courageous. And I want you to take a look at Psalms 27 and verse 14. Psalms 27. And verse 14, you know, one of the things that I found is that many times God would give us so many different ways of looking at things. Here, again, I'm reading out of the King James today. You know, usually I'd be all over in the Amplified, but King James kind of brings it out real good. Psalms 27 and verse 14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Not just have courage, but be of good courage. The kind that's going to keep you out of trouble, not get you into trouble. See, you can be courageous and do some foolish stuff, but we're talking about that good kind of courage. Comma, then it says, and he shall strengthen thine heart when you wait on the Lord, when you be of good courage, then God shall strengthen thine heart. Then God had a way of, you know, that he meant what he was talking about. Right here it says again, because it's a colon, wait, I say, on the Lord. Many times God, when he has spoken, he'll say, I say again. When he repeats himself, he meant that thing. He wants you to understand that you really need to be paying attention to what he said. Let's turn to Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter and verse 6.
Apostle,
yes,
one,
go ahead.
One thing, when we talk about that word wait, you know there are two meanings for that word, right?
Okay.
You know, one connotation of the word where you said Deuteronomy 31. Yeah, we're gonna remind you of the scripture now that we're going to. But real quick, one connotation of that word is to sit in expectation or earnest expectation.
Okay.
So when you're talking about waiting on the Lord, you're basically talking about expectation.
Okay.
But there is a connotation of worship that goes along with that, which simply means serve.
Ooh.
Now let's look at it in everyday life. When you go to a restaurant, what are you expecting when you sit down? You expect a waiter or a waitress, a server,
okay,
to come and take your request for food and do what they need to do to make sure that you are comfortable and you are attended to in the proper manner so that the experience you had was enjoyable. Well, your job in the kingdom of God is to serve the Lord with gladness, that his experience with you is comfortable and enjoyable every single day. So when you talk about wait on the Lord, you ought to serve with great expectation, knowing that God is going to enjoy what you've done in this earth realm so much that he is going to make sure that he shows his gratitude. And how do you do that? We talk about giving a tip. But God shows it by bringing forth the blessing that he's already prepared for you.
You're talking about being prepared. I appreciate the way you brought that out, man of God, because when we serve, you know, earlier we talked about the things that we stand for in the ministry. And these are the things that prepared us to be able to come forth and to be able to talk to the men and women of God and let them know. I believe that's why they keep coming back, because they see a sincerity in our servitude.
Amen.
And so, you know, I praise God for that. And, you know, I was talking about coming to a Deuteronomy, because I told you I always want to have two or three witnesses. So I gave you Psalm 27. And verse 14, now we're going to go back a little bit. We're still in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. And again, it says here, I'm reading out of the King James Version, Standard King James, be strong and of good courage. They go that good courage. But it's talking about strength. Now, be strong and of good courage. But how do you do that? Fear not. Fear not. Remember we said failure is not an option. Fear not. Nor be afraid of them. Who is them? So you have to know who everybody is talking about. Them is the enemy. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does go with thee. It is he that goes with you. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God is going to be with you. Who can be against you? Okay, now, just so you know, I always try to give an Old and a New Testament. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. What you got over there, man of God?
Man of God, I'm trying to tell you, be strong and of good courage.
I remember that Paul said something in Galatians similar to that when he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I do understand that God wants us to be strong, because here's the thing. When you talk about fear not, fear not, fear not. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 that perfect love casts out fear. There's no fear in love. So if you're going to be strong in the Lord, you're going to be strong and have courage, it's because you walk in the love of God. When you walk in the love of God, you operate in the fruit of the Spirit. See, there are connectors here.
Okay.
Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, meekness, goodness, temperance, gentleness, against such there is no law. Here's the thing. You don't have to walk in fear when you operate in God, because God casts out fear. Because there is nothing on earth nor in the heavenlies that can come against you when you walk in the love or in fellowship with God, because the courage is not yours anyway. The courage belongs to God. God gives you the boldness to do exactly what he told you to do, because you know that he loves you. You know that he loves you. And when you get that unadulterated knowledge, I mean, that's just in your heart, down in your soul, you have no doubt in any part of your mind that God's love is all-encompassing, and it is the key to your success. There's absolutely nothing that you can't do, which is what will make you even believe the more that failure is not an option.
You know, man of God, as we're talking about having courage, you know, just because the word courage is not in a scripture or whatever, you have to look beyond. You have to look through. You have to look at what is actually happening. We're talking about being strong, being of good courage. And what is it that we're being strong and of good courage for? And here's the bottom line right here.
All right.
2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. For we preach. Not ourselves. See, it's that, and I'm going to stop right there for a minute. We preach not ourselves. It's not about Carlton Clark or Carlton Earl or Carlton Earl Clark or Carlton Earl Clark Richardson or Apostle. I mean, it's not about me. I'm nothing. That's why earlier we read those scriptures to you, talking about we're not here because of us.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's about Jesus Christ. Remember I said that what John the Baptist did, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The church need to go back to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But see, God, he left the church with the apostles. He left them with a clear instructions.
Yeah.
And he said, before you go do any teaching, he had let them go out two by two before he died. And they came back with their report. But they didn't mean stuff they weren't able to do, so we had to teach them some more. But the thing that he left with them before he ascended to the Father, back to his place of origin, was don't do anything. Go yourself over there in that house. You and, it's going to be some more folks over there with you, because I'm going to make sure there's plenty of witnesses. I'm going to make sure there's plenty of witnesses. 120, as a matter of fact.
That's
and
right.
If you know anything about numerology, well, we talk about that some other time, but there's something, there's a governmental thing in the number 12. And 12, he had 120, so he had 10 times. God does everything dimensionally.
That's right.
Everything he does is dimensional. But anyway, we move along, preacher, move along.
Move along, move along.
So he told him, go on over there. And I'm a sister of witnesses over there with you. But don't you teach nobody, don't you do nothing but pray. Get over there. Get on your knees. Get on your face. Pray. Till the Holy Ghost comes.
Hallelujah. For we preach not ourselves.
Now, when the Holy Ghost comes, something going to happen, and the whole world going to know about it. And that's the way we want you to do things. Now, he told them to do that. The church is patterned behind what he told them to do.
So,
if we do what they do, and we say what they say, we need to be saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But here, we're saying in 2 Corinthians, New Testament, chapter 4, verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, it's not about us. We're not going to do nothing till we get some power. We done did that. But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. Now, we're not doing ourselves. It ain't got nothing to do with us, but Christ Jesus. The Lord and ourselves, the servants, for Jesus' sake. God left preachers on the earth. All those scriptures say, how can you learn without preaching? It's not that folks is better than you. It's that God left some stuff in the hands of folks that was going to be diligent to do it. Now, I know you can come back at me and say, oh, these preachers are doing this, and these preachers are doing that, and there's a special place in hell for every one of them. See, I'm the main one that will tell you there's a special place for them that's got to be
cheated. That's right.
You know, you there's. So, we're not going to worry tonight anyway about them that not doing what God said to do because there's a special place for them. But God's going to make sure that His word doesn't go out void. So, it's up to you, men and women of God, to pay attention to what's being said to you and to challenge it, to study it. Show yourself approved up to God, a woman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly divided, the word of truth.
I tell you the truth, Apostle, when I look at the scripture, I think about the fact that the Bible says that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet is a similar word to but.
Okay.
It's a contradictory conjunction. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Right after that, he said, and the life I live through the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. None of what we do is about us, about we people. Everything, if you are one who is a believer, a follower of Christ, you know for a fact that you're not going to get any credit for this stuff. You're not going to get any credit for anything you do because everything you do is to the glory of the Father. Jesus said it best, that when the Holy Ghost comes and becomes the witness or the testimony of Jesus Christ, that we would go out and be witnesses of Jesus, that the Son,
right,
that the Father may be glorified through the Son. So it's still all about God getting His glory through Jesus Christ, His Son, because even though you think God sees you, God don't see you, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that we are conformed to the image of His Son.
Right.
That He would become the firstborn among many brethren.
Tell us something about the blood.
Oh, yeah.
Since somebody see. The reason God even sees us is through the blood of
Jesus.
If no blood, He sees filthy rags. He sees us in our heyday and not our glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the thing is, through revelation, He gave us a promise that whatever you're going through right now, even in your time of worship, in your time of preparation to go out and do whatever it is that God has called for you to do, He said, and I want you to take this to heart, Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And I want you to hear that because the word shall in the Bible is a definitive word. Because when you see that word shall, it means regardless of your argument, it will come to pass. There is absolutely nothing about shall that is doubtful, that is arguable. When shall is used, that means it will come to pass with or without you. That's why he said the word shall not return unto him void.
That's right.
But he shall accomplish that which he sent it out to accomplish.
Amen, amen. As we begin to wrap up, we've been talking about preparing. We've been talking about having courage. We've been talking about failure is not an option and preparing for the race. How do you prepare? And we've been talking about some things over the past few months, but we're just going to go back over real quick with prayer. It's going to take a lot of prayer for you to be able to run this race.
A lot of prayer.
Communion. You need to be able to commune one with another. There's got to be some unity. There's got to be some ability to understand and to agree. Fasting is basically a sacrifice of yourself to your God. You're giving away something that God knows you love and you for, so that you can get closer to that relationship that is so key to doing everything with Him. Worship and praise, and we talked about a few of those things, and putting on the whole armor of God. Studying, we talked about that. And then we talked very little about tongues. And we're going to continue to talk more about that and about prophecy over time. But one of the things that I want to bring to your attention is we got to have courage to stand up for those things that we believe to be true. We were talking about putting things that's happening in today's society and giving you the ability to understand it. Here in the City of Glory, we have, which is Gary, Indiana, our local television stations come from Chicago. Those are the national ABC, CBS, and things of that nature. And so what has happened is when we listen to those stations, we have found out that in Chicago, one of the national chain, Chick-fil-A, talked about what we believe in, which is a man and a woman being married, which is what is in the scriptures. And they took a stance, and they said, we believe that a union is between a man and a woman for marriage. And what has happened is they got a contract to build a new Chick-fil-A over in Chicago, where the new mayor came out and said, along with some of the councilmen, that they're not good corporate partners because they are going against, we're talking about Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is going against their neighbors by telling the truth. Well, I applaud personally Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson. Amen. I applaud that Chick-fil-A stood up for what they believe. And what has happened is they may or may not be able to get the contract to build over there because the city has politically gone in and said, you talk about our neighbors, so we're not going to let you build. And to me, that's not courageous. To me, that was cowardly, what they did. And, you know, so I'm standing up with some of the things that we talked about last week. Some of our pastors got together and decided they were going to stand on the street corners and fight this crime that's going on in the city and things of that nature. And what has happened is last week some tragedy happened right in their faces. So the media made a mockery of it by trying to make the church look bad. And so we are saying that there's some preparation. There's some preparation that must be done in order for you to be able to do anything. And so, hallelujah. We want to make
I mean, let's just be honest. We take a stand against homosexuality.
We take a stand against those things. I mean, we can show you in the Word of God. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says that homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. So how can you be so politically incorrect? Because honestly, and this is just me, I say this by permission, not command, that it is politically incorrect from the kingdom of God's point of view to support something that goes directly against the Word of God.
the gods? Who are the gods? Is that Lizzie or Lizzie?
No, Lizzie.
Lizzie. Okay. If we go back to Genesis, in Genesis,
God said he made man in his image and in his likeness. So are we dogs, cats, rats, snakes, aardvarks, giraffe, bears?
No.
Or are we gods? That's stuff that makes you go, go ahead, man of God.
How long will you judge unjustly? Okay. How long? God is asking the question right here. How long will who?
You.
You. Who is you?
The mighty.
You might, you
God.
That's mighty and you that are God. How long will you judge
what?
Unjustly? Unjustly. How are we judging unjustly? Read.
And accept the persons of the wicked.
Okay. We are judging unjustly when we allow others to do what we're supposed to be doing. Because he left the church here to take care of what's written here in this song, which is a song. This is a song. A song of woe. Read.
Defend the poor love.
This is a proclamation. Just like repent, for the kingdom of God is in hand. This is a proclamation. Defend the poor. Read.
And fatherless.
And the fatherless. God is the champion of the fatherless. And there's other scriptures which we've talked about in the past, that he is going to bless the ability of the fathers to be a blessing in their home. We're going to talk to them, remind me to go there about the fathers. But he wants us to take care of the fatherless. He got a ooh. He get angry when fatherless are taking advantage of. Read.
Do justice to the afflicted and needy.
Do justice. Only how you gonna do justice if you're not a judge? Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Poor, fatherless, needy, afflicted. Poor. Distinct category of folks that we're supposed to be looking out for. Us, they call ourselves Christians. Us, they call ourselves mighty. Us, they call ourselves God. Read.
Hey, man, can I say this real quick?
Go ahead, man.
In this sense, and only in this sense, according to the Bible, can you call yourself religious? Because the Bible says that there is no religion other than that of widows and orphans or the fatherless. So when they ask you, have you got good religion, you think about the fact that if you haven't helped any widows or old or elderly, you haven't helped any poor, needy, fatherless, or afflicted, then you say, certainly not.
Well,
not
we're going to make sure that we have that scripture for them so that they'll be able to, do you know it off, right off the top?
I believe it's in James,
okay.
And I can find it for them in just 5 seconds.
Yeah, we'll have that for them so that they will know.
I'm going to give that to you in just a couple of seconds, right after I read this next verse, and possibly begins to share on this next verse.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible reads in Psalm 82, we're at verse 4. The Bible says, deliver, not only defend, but deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Okay, deliver. Okay, when you think of delivery, what do you think of?
You think of something that is brought to or taken from.
Deliver, you deliver the word. You're giving the word to someone. When you deliver a pizza, you're taking something good to eat to that person. When you deliver a person from a sickness, remember we talked about laying on of hands. Laying on of hands allows us to deliver them from afflictions of. Let's see here, right here, this is so key. We talk about laying on of hands. That's the only way you're going to deliver someone. And you know, we're talking about doing something and activating your voice. And we talked about the tongue. We talked about fasting. We talked about all of these are preparations. Everything is sitting in preparation of what we spoke of earlier. Preparation to do the will of God. And so deliver the poor. Deliver them.
Deliver them.
And the only way you can deliver them is to lay hands on them. Go ahead.
Amen. They know not, neither will they understand.
Okay, hold up. They know not, neither will they understand.
Let me break that down for you just real. Like I say, we crawl real, real slow today.
Okay.
I pray that you really are paying attention to this part. Who is they? Read that again.
Who is they? The poor?
No. Read that scripture four.
Verse four?
Yeah.
Okay. It says deliver the poor.
Okay, five.
Okay. They know not.
They know not. Okay.
Neither will they understand.
Neither will they understand. In the beginning of this scripture, we talked about how long will we, meaning the gods and the mighty, allow them to take care of stuff for us. That's how we allow they to not understand. How can they understand when they are not of God? If they don't understand what is of God, they are going to give their interpretation of what's supposed to be going on. That's why even our president of the United States, even our leaders, our mayors, even some of our clergy are doing the politically correct thing in allowing things that are not morally sound and are not in the word of God. And so we allow them. That's who they are. They don't understand.
What does it say again, man of God?
They know not.
They know not.
Neither will they understand.
Neither will they understand. How can they understand
when the very next portion of that verse says they walk in darkness?
They walk in darkness. Go ahead, man of God, read it.
All the foundations of the earth are out of court. Before you go there.
You know I'm in the
grave.
Before you go there.
I want to just throw this in and make sure that we understand it. The part of the first part, James chapter 1, verse 27, is the verse of scripture that we just spoke of regarding pure religion that confirms part of this particular scripture. James 1:27 that says that pure religion, pure and perfect religion is that of visiting the fatherless and the widows and keeping yourself pure before the world.
Amen. Amen.
Now, read that one more time.
Because I've been stuck on Psalm 82 for about 6 months, and here is why right here.
Okay. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. all the foundations, plural, of the earth are out of course.
Right. Reno.
I have said.
Okay, no, we're going to stop right there.
All of the foundations of the earth are on tilt, out of tilt.
They're out of tilt because we are not in place to do what we are designed to do. We are not standing. We are not going against. We're just giving in to. We're standing by. And we're allowing those ungodly thoughts, deeds, and actions to come around us like it's all right. And the whole world is being tilted to the left, to the right. And it's, if you ever, back in the day when we were young kids, we had these tops. They were called tops. And they had a little wooden toy with a metal piece on the end, and you wrap a string around the top, and the top had grooves in it. And when you get the string wrapped all the way around to the top of the top, you throw the top down on the ground, and the string unravels, and the top spins. And at first, the top is spinning very just upright, and it's just going all over the place. It's bumping in the walls, and it's popping off the walls, off the shoes, off the curves and everything, and it's still spinning real fast. But then, as the momentum of the bumps and the bruises and everything, the top begins to start to wobble. And as it begins to wobble, it gets out of whack, and the metal comes off of the earth, and the top spins around on its side. And back in the day, there was another toy called Weebles. And the Weeble, you could, like, hit the Weeble, and the slogan behind the Weebles is Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And back in the day, there was Bean Man Clowns, and they were the forefather of the Weebles. And you could hit the Bean Man, and it was filled up with air. It had beans or some kind of sand or something in the bottom of the bag, and you could hit the bag, and it would just go to the side or front back, but it would stand straight up. And that's where they got the inspiration for the Weebles. But I'm saying that to say this. In case you didn't notice, about 4 months ago, we were talking about hearing in the Midwest. We didn't have a real winter in Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, Wisconsin, in our immediate area around here, we didn't have a lot of snowstorms like we normally snow and ice storms. That's our MO. We had one of the mildest winters that we've ever had. We had 70s and 80s in the winter, and so we knew we were going to have a hot summer. But I'm saying that to say this. Also, during that time frame, the sun and the moon was in the same quadrant. And what I mean is, if you looked in the east, the sun would be out. But if you looked in the south, the moon would be there. And they would be so close together. It is because of the tilt of the earth. So that, when I hear this about the, I'm telling you to look up and to look out and to look around you. You need to pay attention to the things that are going on. When the sun and the moon is in the same quadrant, that means that the earth is out of tilt. And so it was easy for me to see, wow, that's why we don't have a winter. And we're going to have a summer. When you start seeing signs and wonders of things that are that naturally, it used to be the sun came up in the east and went down in the west, pretty much, especially in the Midwest, we could see that as a continuous pattern, except for during the winter months or things of that nature. And then we would see the moon come up in the east as well. But now, I mean, it does come up in the east, but sometimes it's like the moon come up in the south, sometimes in the north. It's because of the tilt of the earth. And so men and women of God, the scriptures is clearly telling us that as God, as mighty ones, as judges, We are allowing others to do our work, and the whole world is out of tilt. That means everything that is happening bad on the earth, we have a responsibility to do something about fixing it. Read.
Amen. I have said, "Ye are God."
I have said, "Who is I?"
I mean God. God Himself.
God Himself said that ye are God.
May in the Amplified for greater understanding.
Okay.
I said you are God since you judge on my behalf as my representatives.
Say that again.
I said you are God since you judge on my behalf as my representative.
Continue.
And all of you are children of the Most High. That's in King James.
All of you are children of the Most High. All of you are mighty. All of you are. Let's go back and read from verse 1 now to this verse in the Amplified.
Amen. Amen.
Let's read right through.
Amen. God stands in the assembly of the representatives of God in the midst of the magistrates or judges. He gives judgment as among the gods. How long will you, magistrates or judges, judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked?
Hold up. Show partiality to the wicked. We know that these folks are doing the wrong thing, and we stand by idly, often, many of us do. I do nothing about it. Oh, we're talking amongst ourselves, but we won't take a stand. And we was talking about courage and being prepared. Sometimes we're fearful. We're fearful of being censored. We're fearful of being called out. We're fearful of being stamped.
And we're supposed to be called out.
That's what set apart. That's what
sanctified
means.
Set apart. We're supposed to be stamped with the seal of the Holy Ghost. So the fact that you're called out, the fact that you're stamped, the fact that you're set apart, that is a compliment. That is an actual compliment to you. When people don't like you because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus said that if they hate him, don't you think they're going to hate you? Because they do. That is the compliment of being a believer. So you're supposed to be set apart. You're supposed to be stamped, sealed with the Holy Ghost. It's sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Got some more to read.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know this is, you know, I told you, men and women of God, during this part right here, we crawl. We almost done, but we crawl. Because it's key for us to where we were last week and where we are today. We're telling you why we're standing for something. We're standing behind and for, we're large and Chick-fil-A, and anybody else that'll stand for the truth.
Amen.
You know, and, you know, we're standing against the unjust judges, those that in position of power that's going to use their power to try to get them to bow and to change their way of looking at things. And so do you expect Chick-fil-A to come back and say, okay, well, we didn't mean no harm?
I hope they don't.
I mean, they being politically correct is not everything.
Right.
And they have stood behind and said, listen, we believe in that as a union. That had nothing to do with us building or whatever, but if you want to make an issue of it, so be it.
And that's
you know,
the bottom
line. I stand
line.
Behind them having courage to stand to the truth. And so we got presidential nominations. And you know, one of the things that I made a joke of, but it's really kind of true. Some years ago, there was some comedic shows that came on, and they, when they were getting ready to vote, they had a line that said, "None of the above." None of the above, which means we're not satisfied with anything that's going on.
Right.
And so sometimes we fall in that category. Unless you can change your way of looking at things, right now, My vote is for Natalie Emmanuel.
Hallelujah.
But you know what? Unfortunately, that's not the way the world works. And so you got to look at the word, the better of two evils. And I'm like, wait a minute, evil and evil and evil and evil. Hey, what do you, you know, what's the better of evil and evil? What's the better of going against the truth? So everybody is free to believe their own way. And we recognize that sometimes people may not understand or may not agree with the way you look at things. And it's not, I'm not making a political statement. What I'm saying is you really need to stand for something if you are the people of God. And quit standing on the sidelines acting like nothing's wrong, but yet you would get on the phone and call Sally, Sue, Jim, and John and complain about the things that you have an ability to do something about. Read.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do justice to the weak or poor and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the afflicted and needy. Maintain the rights.
And that has to do with legislation. In other words, why aren't we, you know, Social Security is not supposed to be taking care of us. Medicare is not supposed to be taking care of us. God ordained the family to take care of the family. The earth is out of tip because we start allowing the governmental systems to fix all of our woes and all of our problems. And what we have found out is that is not the way that it's going to work. We really need to understand that God left us in the ability to continue to go forth and to fix some stuff. If we don't do it, guess what, men and women of God, it doesn't get done. So we put ourselves in a position of standing on the sideline pointing when we should be doing something about it.
That's the judgment that you trust don't do. Stand on the sideline pulling your feet instead of getting into the fray and making strides for change.
Some of you have, if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. See, I'm just planting a seed, and I'm just wondering, some of you are supposed to be on the front line. Some of you are the only ones that's going to be. See, there's another Martin Luther King out there. There's another Barack Obama out there. There's another. So there's another someone that you know that's in American history that you believe in or whatever, and you that other person. But because you got your mouth zipped, and you don't believe in tongues, and you don't go to church, or you don't believe, and you believe in a denomination, you're not doing everything that God has planned for you to do. And that's why we are a non-denominational entity. You know, we believe in Jesus Christ, Him crucified, you know, and rose again. We tell you everything that we believe in every week. And you need to stand. We stand by the things that we tell you. We tell you every week that we believe failure is not an option. We believe this. We believe this. We believe this. We believe this. Well, you know what? These are not just idle words with us. You know, and it obviously is not just idle words with you because you keep coming back. You're listening. I mean, you don't always give us feedback about what we're saying, but you do keep coming back. And so we praise God for you. That means, you know, obviously we're saying something that is making you go, making you study or something. Or you say, hey, you know what? I thought I was the only one that thought like that. And you know what? It's nice to know that there's some other folks out there. And you know, we recognize you're not going to agree with everything that we say or do. But guess what? We can point you in the right direction, and then it's up to you.
deliver the poor and needy, rescue them out of the hands of the wicked.
Rescue. That means, you know, firefighters and police officers are first responders. Okay, and often they have to go in and subdue a situation. Firefighters, we just, you know, just show you how dirty the enemy is. There was a firebombing here in the city a few days ago, and the coward, yeah, whoever it was a coward. Angry at the woman for one thing that probably had nothing to do with everybody that he firebombed the apartment building. But he put a firebomb in front of her doorway and then down at the other end of the hallway so that everybody on the floor could have got killed. That's a cowardly act. You know, and it's just unnecessary. Some of the things that, you know, just like the other day, you can't, it's tough for you to even go to the movies without being fearful because of the idiot that went and shot up everybody, killed 12 people, and our prayers go out to every family that was affected in that hideous thought of the person. The person shot and wounded over 58 people. Those were cruel intentions. And then the headlines a few days later was that he had some kind of scientific background, that he was a very smart, educated person. You know, we're not trying to look at the mentality of the person that did it. The dude was possessed by a demon. Let's quit trying to, you know, put a different flavor on stuff. The dude got issues because he ain't believing what we believe. And we need to, you know, we need to start saying that the boy is possessed and he needs Jesus. That's the bottom line of all of these unsavory acts that are going on. People are doing whatever they can to get their 15 minutes of fame. And it's got to do with they not believing in a higher power. They're not believing in Jesus Christ, Him crucified, you know. And that's the thing that's going on in our society is people say, oh, well, you know, the Muslims, they got this way, and they okay because they believe in Jesus now. And the Jehovah Witness, oh, they believe in Jesus now, and this one and that one, hold up. The scriptures clearly tell us that the only way to God is through His Son. So if you call yourself in the kingdom of God, you need to be saying that when people, don't let people just tell you their philosophy. You need to tell them yours, because yours is the one with the power. See, what it is, we stand by and let people just tell us anything. We say, oh, yeah, well, you know, we ain't supposed to judge. No, didn't we? That's why we're reading Psalms 82 right now. Because you think you're not supposed to judge, but you are judge. The man of God just read in the Amplified that it says that you are, I have said that ye are gods, which is judges. Because you judge on my behalf. Translated, because you judge on my behalf. You, as my representative on the earth. He left us here. See, men and women of God, I beg you to stand on who you are. And you know, nothing hurts me more than a man or woman of God that is standing on the sideline and God is saying, you are a prophet of God. I didn't call you a prophet. God said you a prophet. And you let some mealy mouth, sawed off, man or woman of God walk up to you and tell you, ain't no more prophets. Ain't no more apostles. You ain't no. And then to use the scriptures. And you will buy it because you haven't studied. And now you're frustrated. You know you called out to do something. You know you laid hands on people and they didn't got well. You know you've spoken over situations, circumstances, and things have changed. You know you've been a champion to the fatherless and to the widows. You know that you've done all of these wonderful things that God has said in his word and that he backs up. And then we give in. And I say to you, especially women, don't give in to men of God that is trying to hold you back. Don't give in to that. If God said you are who you are, he's going to make room for your gifts. That don't mean for you to run off and start your own church. That means wait for God. Remember we talk about wait, I say, on the Lord. I was reading earlier another scripture, and because we almost done with Psalms 82, but we want to make sure that you understand that God intends for you to get the world back on tilt. Because we're going to finish up with this, because we want to let you come in and tell us a little something, say something to us. We want to try to get some kind of feedback from you. Go ahead, man of God.
They walk on in the darkness of complacent satisfaction. All the foundations of earth, the fundamental principles upon which rest the administration of justice are shaking. Can I say this real quick? It's not that the poor and the needy don't know. It's that we don't know. We who are the mighty. The Bible says that we perish because we don't know. Warriors for Christ, House Prayer Church, International Ministries, and Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries, we believe in presenting you with the knowledge so that you can be accountable for what God has called you to. So it's that we don't know. We don't know. We walk in the darkness of complacent satisfaction. We just complacent. We're not content. We're complacent. And there's a difference. You cannot be complacent, but you can be content. The Bible says be content in whatsoever state you're in. But don't be complacent in whatsoever state you're in, because complacent means you're going to get lazy and you're going to get lackluster in your performance of the things of God which he's called you to. So please understand that complacency is not what we're seeking. That's not what we're seeking. So in our complacency, we no longer know what we're supposed to be doing in the earth, which is called the very principles of God that rest in the administration of justice. We are his administration of justice. We are to administer justice, and judges administer justice. So we who are judges in the earth administer justice, and because we administer that justice, we are to know what it is that we administer. We are to understand that the poor, the needy, the afflicted, the fatherless, the widows, those are the people that we are to administer justice to. Our service is to them who are needy, who are oppressed. Our service is not to kings and queens. They already got people serving them. That's not who we serve. We serve a God who finds it more important to adhere to the needs of those who need rather than those who just want.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to go to this one scripture, and then we're going to open up the lines. I want to say this. In order for you to be bold, in order for you to be prepare yourself, in order for you to have courage, in order for you to do what needs to be done to get the world back on tilt, in order for you to be guides or judges on behalf of what God says, First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says it like this. Therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast, unmovable.
I'm going to have you read that out of the Amplified. I'm
ready.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, always abounding, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Your labor is not in vain. It's going to take some work.
But amen.
Be steadfast. Be that rock.
Amen.
Be that boulder. Be that the rock of Gibraltar.
Amen.
Unmovable. Let them come in with an earth mover and still can't move you.
That's right. That's right. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm. Firm. Which is what steadfast is. Firm. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always being superior. Excellent. Doing more than enough in the service of the Lord.
Service.
Knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. That's some good meat right there.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, we pray that we've been a blessing to you. We're going to go ahead at this time and open the lines up.
Okay. You can.
Hey, man. So we will open up the line so that we can know your take on tonight's sharing in the Word of God. I mean, we're not going to call it a lesson or whatever. We just wanted to share with you what God has laid on our hearts. And we want you to share with us what God has laid on your hearts concerning what you've heard on tonight. So at this time, the lines are open. Come on, talk to us.
Okay, well, we recognize again that it's not always that you want to be heard, but we pray that we were heard by you and that we can be a blessing to you. As some of you may not know the Lord and the pardon of your sins. And so at this time, we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray a prayer so that you can find out how you can be part of this glorious kingdom of believers, this glorious kingdom of judges and God.
Amen. Father, we do appreciate you so much for who you are in our lives. And now we stand before you, Father, on behalf of those who do not know you, who are not yet reconciled unto you. Father, we thank you that because of your power and your might, that you will infiltrate them with your Holy Spirit, that they might be able to declare and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Speak through your Spirit now to them, O God, that they would repent and come into that sacred knowledge of who you are and be born again of water and of Spirit. Be born again of the blood. Be born again of the water. Be born again of the Spirit. And that they would be reconciled unto you according to your word. In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, if there is anyone on here that heard our prayer who is not yet reconciled unto God the Father,
through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Let me give you a little bit of information. I want to talk to you for just a hot second. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the earth, born of a virgin, spent 3 years dedicated to declaring what his Father had already said in the, had already said in the earth, giving people that understanding. And they crucified him for it. They hung him on a cross for it. He gave up the ghost, meaning he died, physical death. And 3 days later, returned unto the earth as he promised for the complete obliteration of your past, that the Father would throw that particular path in the sea of forgetfulness. So with that information, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ and his sacrifice are available to you even now. And at this very moment, I want to invite you to become part of this kingdom, become part of this family, be born again of the house of God. If you are willing to do so, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you that I am not cast down because of your grace and mercy. Thank you that Jesus Christ came to earth, lived on earth, died, and was resurrected 3 days later for the pardoning of my sin-filled past. Thank you, Jesus, that you have come into my heart, for I do confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that you were raised from the dead by the hand of God. I accept you as my Savior. I accept you as my Lord. And I accept the salvation of your sacrifice. It's in your name, Jesus, that I thank you, because now I am saved. And if you have prayed that prayer with us, we want to say this one thing to you. Now, I know that we can't rejoice the way heaven is rejoicing, because I want you to understand that heaven is rejoicing at this moment. If you prayed that prayer with me, if you confess Jesus as Savior and Lord, heaven is just through a party for you right now. And we can't do it like they do it, but we want you to know how excited we are that you are now born again into the kingdom of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Our host, the temple builders and temple, kingdom builders and kingdom daughters, they want to make sure. They want to make sure. Kingdom builders and kingdom daughters want to make sure that two things happen. One is that you get into a church that's going to be one that teaches the Bible. And so let us know where you're from, what city you're from, what state you're in. And we kind of know a few people around town. We might can lead, guide, and direct you to a church that, especially if you enjoyed what you heard tonight and in previous nights, that you can hear some of that same stuff in a church that's near you. And then we want to make sure that you got the word, that you got a Bible. They have electronic Bibles that they can get to you. They have all manner of things that they can get in your hands. So contact them through Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders International on the internet, and let them know what you need and what your thoughts are. We thank you again for being with us, and we were blessed to have an extended time on tonight, and we praise God and praise the Lord. My phone didn't go out one time. Hallelujah! we had to get crazy and put a little oil on the phone today. And say, oh, no, you're not gonna win. Like Michael Jackson said in that movie, The Wiz, you can't win. We're tired of giving the enemy his due.
That's right.
Start taking
Amen.
Thank you for being part of us, and we want to thank you for continuing to share. We want to ask that you would invite some other folks to listen to the Warfare Hour. We pray that we'll be able to continue to come to you until glory, until God calls us home. We want to, because we want to be a blessing to you. So pray for the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer, Church International. Pray for our covering the, and everything that we do. We want to pray for all those that pour into our lives. The
Living Way Christian Center.
Living Way Christian Center and Apostle Linda Emmons and the Kingdom Daughters, the Kingdom Builders International, Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries, and everybody that believes, our husbands and wives and cousins and uncles and all good friends and all of you that continue to share with us every week.
Amen.
And since, you know, those of you who are listening, whether it be by phone or you're hearing us on the internet, because we know that you're internet savvy, why don't you visit us online? Why don't you visit us at Facebook.com. Facebook.com. Visit the Apostle Carter Earl Clark Richardson. I'm sure. I'm looking at him right now, so I know that I'm sure he would love to hear from you. Go on Facebook and find him. Papa Carlton Earl, that's Carlton with a K and two S. Not the traditional stuff, because remember, we ain't just no traditional people. So it's Carlton with a K and two N. Earl Clark hyphen Richardson. Amen. Go on Facebook and find him. Come on Facebook and find us. Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries. Facebook.com/ Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries. Receive exhortation, receive prophecy, receive that which you need in prayer even. Receive prayer that will enrich your walk with Christ. Daily we come to you with prayer, with exhortation, with the released prophetic word of God that you might receive that which you are hungry for, so that you can grow. And please know that we are going to be here on Thursdays, ready to continue in that vein. So visit us at Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries on Facebook. Amen. And we'll give you further information as time permits. So I want to turn it back over to Apostle. Remember how they used to do it? We're going to give it back to Apostle for final words and benediction.
Amen. Apostle Clark.
We done, y'all. Thank you.
Hello?
Amen. Apostle Clark.
Yes.
And Prophet Corey. I've been trying to get in for a minute. I don't know. Maybe my voice wasn't projecting. This is Prophetess Teresa, and I got a text, and someone is on the broadcast, and she's been trying to get in as well. So I do still have the lines open if you have a few minutes.
Amen.
The board is open. So the person that was trying to get in, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Amen.
Amen.
Good afternoon, Prophet Corey and Apostle Clark. This is Sister Tony with Kingdom Daughters. I enjoyed the message first and foremost. I did. It was well needed. Well needed. I received it. But I came in to ask for prayer. I want you all to, you know, just stand in agreement with me that, you know, God just revealed to me who I am in Him and my purpose. And as He revealed that to, you know, that I walk in it with fire and holy boldness. It's just been a struggle, you know, a real big struggle for me.
Amen. Well, this is Prophet Corey. First off, we will stand in agreement with you in prayer. Let me encourage you, sister, that it's always those of us who are going to receive a great portion of God's anointing who really stand in those fiery trials.
And so don't take it as something that's a hindrance or a weight or a labor. Take it as an understanding, a training, and a testing. So that God, because God, as we've been talking about tonight, is preparing you for who you are to become in His kingdom, in His body. So real quick, Apostle, if we can go real quick just to agree with her in prayer.
Amen.
Father, we thank you that you are still on the throne. We thank you for our sister Tony, who is seeking you while you may be found, oh God, who is seeking your presence and seeking and desiring to walk in the fullness of who you have desired for her to be and called for her to be. We pray now, God, for your revelation knowledge. We pray for your wisdom in her life, that she would walk in the path that you laid out for her, and that she would know beyond any doubt that you have laid this path out, and that everything she does will be according to your plan. God, release your perfect will into her life, that she would gain glory for you and not for herself, so that she would also understand how to be able to glorify you through the Son. Holy Ghost power, fill her now. Holy Ghost fire, refresh her. Move in her right now, that she would be able to do exactly what you are preparing her to do. In Jesus' name we thank you, Father. Amen.
Yes, Sister Tony, it's always good to hear from you. And just to know that God is no shape, form, or fashion. You know, he decides who he chooses. And there's many gifts that's listed in the scriptures. You could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, Ephesians 4, even 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2, and as well as many more scriptures that individually talk about different kinds of gifts. And then, you know, your man or woman of God that's in your life will also help prepare you. Through prophetic utterance or through scriptures, through the word, you're going to find confirmation on many of the things that's been said on tonight. And we want to hear a good report from you that everything has happened, because we want to know that God has done what he said he could do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Well, I just want to say before you close, I want to invite everyone out to Kingdom Builders Monthly Empowerment, Prayer Empowerment. We will be having on August the 4th at Living Way Christian Center, our house of prayer. Elder Melvin People will be our guest speaker, and we will be, the subject is Stand on the Wall of Prayer, which will be the beginning of a month of prayer for Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters. And I want to once again thank Sister Tony for just wanting more and more of God, for truly that is where we should stay, at that place, hungry and thirsty for what God is doing, and even to be in the presence of teaching and just fresh fire. And then after the prayer empowerment on the 4th, we will be having a prophetic intercessor boot camp conference in Detroit, Michigan on August the 24th and 25th. So that's going to be a rich, empowering weekend. So we want to encourage everyone that want to be part of it. You can locate us on Facebook, or you can go to the website www.kingdombuildersplaza.org. And on that website, we will be posting all the ministries that are on the Blog Talk Radio information and contact information for everyone that you hear on these broadcasts with Kingdom Builders. So we just want to encourage you, go to our website, find out more information about the conference, about our monthly empowerment meetings, and even all that we're doing to lift up God's will upon His people. So I just want to make that announcement and also encourage Apostle and Prophet for doing a good work. And we know that God will complete the work he have started in you and for your ministries. And I just want to say a word of prayer over you both. Father, we just thank you for the men of God that you have created for such a time as this. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, that you would keep them covered in the blood of Jesus. And Father, that you would also, Lord God, keep their minds stayed on you, Lord God. Keep their minds in perfect peace, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that we're able by faith to pour buckets and buckets of the blood of Jesus over them, over their minds, their bodies, their soul, and over their household, everything that concerns them, and over their family. We thank you, Lord God, for the blood of protection over them right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask you that you would refresh, renew, and anoint them afresh for everything they have poured out. We bind up every backlash, every retaliatory spirit that may come toward them for what they have poured out for your people. So we just thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that have rose up or will rise up against them in judgment that we're able to condemn, and we condemn it right now in the mighty, massive name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, for long life over both of them, long divine health. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, we say amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, see, I love when a prophet prays.
Oh.
Hallelujah. God bless you, woman of God. Indeed.
God bless you both. And you know that we love you.
And we love you back.
See, like the children say, and I love you more.
Amen. Okay. Well, unless there's someone else that wants to say anything, we thank you for another Thursday night where the Warfare Hour extended version, hallelujah, was come forth. I guess God is making sure that he is allowing some stuff to happen in this dispensation of time. And so we praise God for who he is, and we pray that we will stay on the wall and stay true to that which he has given us. God bless you, prophetess, for all that you do. Bless you and your husband and your family. Safe journeys to and from, back and forth to Michigan. And we look forward to continuing to share with you in the love of Jesus.
Amen. I receive that. Thank you.